All right, you can take your Bibles and turn to Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to look today at being examples and imitators. And those two things go together in the Word. And in chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Example is the word example. Sometimes, same Greek word, sometimes they translate it example and sometimes example. I guess that was, you know, English in the 1600s. But anyway, the word follower is the word imitator. Mimetos. You know what a mimic is, right? Mm-hmm. What was that guy, Marcel Marceau? He was the mime. But that's not really what it's talking about here. You know, he just, I guess that's a, you know, something that came down through the ages. But it really means to be an imitator, to see a model of someone and imitate them, to try to be like them. And then the word example is the word tupos, which means type. It's the mark of a blow, the impress of a seal or stamp. Hence, that which is a form or model, something which we look to as a model to follow, or, you know, like a role model would be a way we do it today. The ESV translates this, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us," which I believe must mean, you know, Paul and his companions and those that he was with. Here in this epistle he's talking, it was he and Timothy that he says were writing this to them. So us would at least refer to him and Timothy and their examples, right? Follow their example of how they lived. In chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So he's exhorting them to do what? Follow his example. And it gives you a list of things here, of the things that you have learned. Well, how did they learn? Well, he taught them in person when he was there. And then, of course, he sent them these letters. So, but they saw him in his life. They saw how he lived. And so they could follow his example. What else does it say? And received. You know, what did they receive? Well, they received Holy Spirit. And they saw him manifest that Holy Spirit. And heard, you know, they heard him speak, and seen in me, you know, they saw his life, how he lived, how he conducted himself, what kind of person he was, the integrity he had in his life. And he says, and do it. Do those things that you saw me do and the things that I've taught you and written to you and all that. He says, and do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. What a great exhortation or encouragement. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You know, we probably all have at different times had examples of people that we imitated, right? I remember when I was a kid and I loved to play baseball and I had a favorite team and I would imitate the batting stance of different players, you know, and just try to do that. I think musicians imitate famous musicians that they like to a degree. You know, I want to be like that guy. In chapter 4, verse 15 of 1 Corinthians says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors," did I let you get there? Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, verse 15, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And what's Paul saying? He said, you know, there's lots of people out there teaching stuff, but I'm the one that started you. I'm the one that got you going. I fathered you in the Word. That's a pretty cool thing, and it's something that's spoken about throughout the Gospels, or throughout the Bible, actually. On Tuesday nights, we've been looking at men of God, and one of the things we're starting to look at now is how they became men of God, how one man of God would teach another man of God, and how they would refer to him as father. It's a pretty interesting thing. Not in the sense of a birth father, but as someone that brought them up in some way or another in the Word of God. Then in verse 16, it says, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me, be imitators of me. So that's a pretty cool thing to, the biblical culture is interesting because the father taught the son. You know, when a son got to a certain age, then he would be an apprentice to his father in whatever his father. Most people were farmers, but there were tradesmen also, carpenters, leather tanners, whatever, goldsmiths, silversmiths, so on and so forth. And so they would bring their children up, their sons up, to work as they worked. It's a pretty important part of their culture. It's the way they raised them and how they continued on. So here he says, I was a father to you in the Word. And then he says, I beseech you to be followers of me, to be imitators. You know, that's how a lot of people learn, right? That's how children learn, by imitating. It's pretty great. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians is a great epistle because, first of all, there's no reproof to it. It is about the return of Jesus Christ. But Thessalonica and the Thessalonican church was, in the beginning, a very great church, and it was a model to the other churches. So in verse 2, Paul, of course, says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church at the Thessalonians. He gives you that introduction. And then verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So he was very thankful for these people. If you go back and read in Acts, you see what happened there. He went there and he was there for not a very long time, and then he got chased out, right? But the people that he left behind, and then later on he sent Timothy back, I believe, they did great things. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your work of believing, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So that's right off the bat. You know, we remember your work of believing. You know, they just were really good believers. They believed God's word. They believed what Paul taught them, and they continued on. And then it says, and your labor of love. They did it all, and they did the work of the church with love. They really labored in it. They really worked hard at it. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. They were, really solid in there that God chose them and called them. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now here, this is a great thing because remember in Philippians, what did he say? Remember what I taught you and what you heard from me and what you saw, right? Well, here he's telling them, our word came to you not in word only. He spoke the word to them for sure, but then they lived the word. You know, the Word was their life, and they manifested the Word and the power of God in their life. And they said, you know what manner of men we were among you. They were honest and forthright, and they taught the truth, and they lived the truth. They didn't take advantage. They didn't manipulate people. They didn't lie to people. They didn't use it for their own personal gain. And he says then in verse 6, and ye became what?
Followers,
imitators of us. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. And the affliction was that they received persecution because they were believing God's word. And you go back again in Acts and you can see that. So that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. So they followed Paul's example. They were imitators of God to the point where they were examples to other churches in other areas. And here he mentions Macedonia, which is, you know, a region. It's not just a city, but a region in Greece. And Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place your believing to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You know, you guys are doing so well. We don't have to correct anything. We don't have to say, well, you need to, you know, do this or do that. They were just doing it. They saw Paul's example. They heard his teaching, and they did it. And they were imitators. They saw that role model. They saw that the way he and Timothy and Silas conducted their lives, and they did the same thing, which is pretty great. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, which is a great thing to know. We're saved from the wrath. Because later on, he has to correct some people because they were teaching that we did go through the wrath. And so he had to reprove people and say, no, that's not true. But in this case, he didn't. They were right on with him, and they followed his example. They were imitators of him. They saw his manner of life. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3 and verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do those things which we command you. Well, they were already doing it back in 1 Thessalonians, and now he's telling them something else, and he's confident that they will continue to do what he asks or commands. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Tradition here is not in the sense that we understand it. It does mean literally what has been handed down to you, right? That's literally what it means, or delivered to you. But in this sense, it refers to in the context of the doctrine that he taught and the example that he set for them. So he's asking them to continue in the tradition which they received of us. Well, what did they receive? They received the truth of the word, right? What he told them. For yourselves know, verse 7, how ye ought to follow us, imitate us. Well, they have been doing it, so they knew. So he's just reassuring them. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. You know, they didn't take food from people. They didn't. They weren't looking for any gain in any way. but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. And we know that Paul, wherever he went, he would work. He would do a job. We know that he had a trade and he could support himself. He didn't depend on the people. Now, there's another place in Philippians where, you know, he talks about how they sent to him and supported him and helped him. And when that happened, that was great. But he didn't expect it from people. He just continued to do what he had to do. He didn't want to be a burden to the church. And then he says, not because we have not power to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when you were with you, this we commanded, that any should not work, neither should he eat. Well, that was pretty strong, you know. But they were to be good imitators so they could become examples, models for other believers. That's what he's exhorting them to do, which they had done before. So Paul says to imitate him and others who are good examples. And then we read how in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians were examples, and how they became imitators of Paul and Silas and Timothy. And then they were examples to other people, which is pretty great. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says in verse 1, be their followers of God as dear children. Now it tells us to be followers or imitators of God. It's not as hard to follow a man, to be an imitator of man, because you can see him, right? You can see what he does. You can mimic or imitate him in his actions, in his words, in his habits, in his mannerisms even. You know, sometimes it would annoy me sometimes when somebody would teach and they would imitate somebody that was a really good teacher, you know, and they'd use his phrasing and phraseology and, you know. That's not what it's talking about, though. It's talking about, you know, looking at that role model. It's just, you know, and we see that with people. And to an extent, that's how we learn. It says, as dear children. Well, how do children learn? They imitate their parents, right? In the beginning, in the early days of their life, that's how they learn to speak. That's how they learn to eat. You know, they learn their habit patterns. You know, hopefully, if you give good examples, you know, that they'll learn from your example, right? So it says here that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. Well, how do we imitate God? You know, how do we do that? Well, the greatest imitator of God was who? Jesus Christ. He was the only begotten Son. And what does it say in the next verse? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, Jesus Christ was the greatest example of a son imitating his father. He always did his father's will. He always did things that pleased him. He loved with the love of God as much as anybody. God so loved the world. God's a lover. God gives. Jesus Christ gave. God has compassion. Jesus Christ had compassion. God is holy. Jesus Christ was holy. You know, he was a great imitator of God, and we can do that too. He always did his Father's will. So it says that we are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, it doesn't say that we have to die for people, but it does say in Romans that we are to be living sacrifices, aren't we? So in that respect, when we do that, we're being imitators of God and of Jesus Christ. that's our example. In verse 8, what else does it say here? I mean, it says a lot of negative things about don't do this and don't do that. But then in verse 8 it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to walk as children of light. We're to walk in the light of God's word. We're to walk in his light, the light of Jesus Christ and what he did. So to being imitators is to walk in God's love, to walk like Jesus Christ walked, to walk in the light of God's word, looking at our examples, and especially at that example of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. And verse 13 says, Wherefore is that you have to read all the verses before this. But wherefore, because of all things that I said before, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? It means to strengthen your mind. Be strong in your mind, in your thoughts. Be sober. Be sober. You know, have a sound mind. Keep it under control. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. The word fashioning there is that same word that's used in Romans 12, not conforming, right? When it talks about renewing your mind, it says, be not conformed to this world. Here it's the same word. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. That would be the world. But in contrast, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In the way you conduct your life, you are to be holy. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Or what? Great respect and awe for God. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. How about that? That's pretty great. Let's go to chapter 2. And verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. How about that? Why did God give us Holy Spirit and say it was Christ in us? You know? Because we're to be like Christ. We're to be Christ-like. We are, the body of Christ takes Christ's place on earth for Christ. He's not here, but he's the head of the body. And we represent him. You know, if you work for a company and you're a representative of that company and you do a crappy job and you put a bad name on that company, what would happen? Probably get fired. But on the other hand, if you work hard and you make that company look good and you do your best, then you're a good representative, you probably get a raise and a promotion, right? Well, we represent Christ and we represent God in our lives. It's a pretty great thing to think about. For even hereto you were called, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, you read about him and how he lived his life. And even when he was on the cross, you know, he didn't curse people. He didn't say, you stupid idiots. Or what did he say? He said, God, please forgive him. That's what he said. It's pretty great. It's a great thing to know. Never hold a grudge. Jesus Christ didn't hold any grudges, did he? Even Judas, he said, leave him alone, you know. who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Well, see, he was right there. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, to God, that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Yep. That's what it is. We are to live unto righteousness. We're to be examples, just like Jesus Christ was. We're to look at his example and follow that. No guile, forgiving, not holding grudges, just loving people and doing our best to communicate God's love to them. That's the way we are to live our lives. Imitators of God as dear children and walking in love as Christ loved. So, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's all I have to say today.
Who else?
Who else?